everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically, we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Pippin, and I think I'm a clone now.
I'm Alex, and I'm filling in for Major Tom.
I'm Kat, and I am here to help you.
And I'm Brendan, and I wonder what the Sarang Corporation's mega credit income production's like.
Whoa.
You are a very specific type of nerd, and I love it.
Look, the one or two nerds who get the little bit of a reference I'm going for are loving that shit.
Fair. Listen, I don't want to talk about Sarang shit.
All right. Today we're talking about the 2009 film Moon, so spoilers abound. If you want specific content warnings for things we may talk about, check out the show notes on nostoriesacred.com. Thanks to Ken for the request.
Thank you, Ken!
Woo!
Woo-woo! Thanks, buddy.
For those of you who haven't seen Moon, the summary from Google is, astronaut Sam Bell's three-year shift at a lunar mine is finally coming to an end, and he's looking forward to his reunion with his wife and young daughter. Suddenly, Sam's health takes a drastic turn for the worse. He suffers pain headaches, as opposed to, you know, other headaches.
It's as painful.
Listen! Again, as opposed to the other kind. He suffers painful headaches and hallucinations, and almost has a fatal accident. He meets what appears to be a younger version of himself, possibly a clone. With time running out, Sam must solve the mystery before the company crew arrives. And that is Moon. Good night, everybody.
The yeah. End.
Can we get a little bit more in depth with the story here?
Of course.
So, there's this dude named Sam, right?
Hey, Sam.
Played by Sam Rockwell. Convenient.
Oh, and if you're wondering whether or not he dances in this film, guess what? He does.
Of course.
For no good reason. But he does.
But he does.
It's character.
He can
reasons.
Dance if he wants to.
And he can leave his friends behind.
Because if his friends don't dance, and if they don't dance.
No friends of mine or Sam Bell's. And how many Sam Bell's are there? So many.
Well, that's so many. That's up for debate.
Is it?
Aha. So it's not much of a mystery, right? They think they're a clone now, so.
So, Sam is on the moon, harvesting something. There's exposition.
Minerals.
It's helium-3, guys. No. It's helium-3 is.
It is a useful thing.
It powers everything. Helium-3.
It's H3, whatever that is.
I believe it's useful in, like, superconductors or something like that. I don't know. I don't actually feel like looking it up.
The point is, it is apparently abundant on the moon. And Lunar Labs has sent Sam up to harvest helium-3.
Lunar Labs!
And it's a
Lunar Labs, which is partly owned by... by the bad boss from the IT Crowd.
Nice.
Wait, was that?
Didn't you notice his plummy British accent?
Oh shit, it was.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sensing a crossover. We'll save that for the game.
Sorry, go on.
And so it is a three-year commitment as opposed to a three-hour tour.
It's a contract job. I mean, it's a contract job.
Yeah, and at the end of 3 years, he goes back to Earth, a new guy comes up.
Straightforward, yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah.
I did a timestamp check for every bit of really interesting world building on this. And within the first 10 minutes, we find out that, we find out that he's doing helium-3. We find out what helium-3, or whatever it is. So it's important. It has money. We know that he has 3 weeks left on his contract, which is good because he's getting a bit squirrely all by himself.
Yeah.
He should have live satellite communications. Brent, is there a word for like where it's continuous, where you can just talk? Anyway.
Synchronous?
Real time.
Synchronous.
Thank you. However, we find out, first 10 minutes, that it's unfortunately been broken for some time. And that we meet...
We've broken for 3 years. Weird.
And we meet the only other quote-unquote person on board, which is an AI named Gertie, voiced by an actor who shall not be named.
So I'm going to say a story change right now. The robot is now voiced by Emma Thompson.
Excellent. Can we all disagree? Emma Thompson is the voice?
Yeah. What's the usual joke replacement?
Christopher Plummer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, that is a great, that's a great replacement.
Yeah. I think both are great.
I was just thinking, who would I rather hear? I'm like, Emma Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did appreciate that, you know, at least it's like, you know, a male robotic assistant, because that is something, at least in current real life as well as popular fiction, you have the female robotic assistant, yeah. And it's a theme.
It cuts out the potential, ooh, is there going to be a romance? Which is annoying, because...
There could still be a romance.
Yes, but we live in Gertie's, a stupid heterosexual sexism bullshit world.
Heteronormative.
We live in one of those.
What
and
is
so
normative?
Immediately, if there's gonna be...
So, spoiler alert, another one of my changes is going to be making Sam a girl.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
So, it's going to change that whole dynamic.
Awesome.
But anyway, okay. The story as it stands.
So, anyway, I really appreciate, when you have science fiction, I really appreciate when you get good, solid world building, and I appreciate in film when that world building happens fast.
Yeah.
Moon here is able to set things up well. Like,
yeah.
Well, also, fun thing I noticed, the first written words you see in universe, wake me when it's quitting time,
ooh.
Written on his t-shirt.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Well, I just mentioned what was in the first 10 minutes. In the first 12 minutes, we have Sam, we find out why there's a human on this space thing anyway. Like, why couldn't you just automate it? Well, the answer is sometimes the robots fucking break down. So you have to have a human with hands to go out there and just see what's going on. And he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually just hit it with a rock.
And he does. And, oh, God. Also, in the first 10 minutes, before we even get to the 12-minute mark, one of the other ways that we know that he's going kind of, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs is that he is having... visual hallucinations. And.
Yep.
We are, and this is something that I want to talk about in more depth later, but also, he says, I was watching TV and I saw, you know, this, somebody in the living room, and Gertie, the robot, is like, you couldn't have, because first of all, there's nobody else here, and second of all, the TV wasn't on. We as an audience are like, well, shit, we saw both of those. One of those was definitely him being crazy. But what if the other is the robot gaslighting him? What's going on?
Well, I remember that scene. Wasn't he? He got distracted because he said something. And then he lied to the robot about seeing something and said that he saw something on TV.
You're right. Yeah. And you're right. And then the robot's like, okay, but wait a second. There was nothing on TV. So either he was watching TV, had a hallucination, lied about it, about the hallucination, and then also he turned out he was hallucinating the TV, or Gertie, the robot, is gaslighting him about the TV.
Gertie is just helping him.
Well,
it is just what he wants to do.
I'm here to help you.
Yeah, but at the same time, I recognized him as a red herring early.
True.
Yep. Yeah.
I didn't know what was actually going on yet, but I was like, it's not Gertie.
Things I appreciated, you know, the fact that it was kind of playing into the audience expectation of like, oh, is the robot evil? And it's like, no, it's a robot. It's following programs.
Yeah.
It's here to help.
I think more could have been done to, like, I think they went early with the, or like appropriately at the right time for trying to see like, oh, what's the question here? Is the question, you know, is he actually going crazy or is the robot making him crazy? But then the story took a different turn and they sort of abandoned that plot idea. At the 12-minute mark, though, the reason I stopped myself and went back is because he goes out to go check to see what's wrong with, you know, one of the mining machines. And he
Mark, I believe. Mm.
And then he goes and he thinks he sees somebody out on the moon. Clearly that's not there. That's another hallucination. But then he swerves into the mining machine and has a hideous accident.
Can I say something about the hallucinations?
Yep.
It's now been a couple of weeks since I watched the movies, and my notes are not detailed enough because that's just who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. But if I recall correctly, he hallucinates a sort of woman.
Yep.
With long dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
Yep.
Once in the space station and once at the mining vessel.
Machine. Yep.
Machine. Yeah. Before he swerves into it. And I spent the rest of the movie expecting a third time.
It did it happen. Did.
When?
Wait.
The daughter.
Wait.
Oh, shit.
No, the daughter didn't have the same hair.
She had dark hair. Long hair.
She had light hair.
She had dark hair.
Mm-mm. The wife had light hair.
She had it tied in a ponytail. I think the daughter.
But she totes had dark hair.
When we saw her.
And that ties into, and I wish there was a bit more explanation about this. The satellite, as we know, is not synchronous because it's broken, quote unquote. So instead they shuttle messages back and forth, like letters. And these letters, particularly the ones from his wife, are, I think we can't explain this until we get to the clones.
Well, send in the clones. Send in the clones. Come on.
No being coy. Let's go, clone.
After the accident, Sam Bell wakes up in the infirmary.
Seriously, fully healed and not looking like he's... Yeah.
I was so mad at myself. Because he wakes up in the infirmary, seemingly all better. And I was like, cool, science, medicine, whatever. What eventually happens is he realizes he's... that something fishy's going on.
Gertie traps him inside.
Gertie traps him inside for his own good.
I can't let you do that.
It's dangerous out there.
He talks his way out. He goes to the mining craft, and where he finds the body of Sam Bell.
Hey, Pip.
Yes.
Hey, Pip. Could you say that he really found himself?
He found himself.
Good night, everybody.
He found himself by having an out-of-body experience. And this other Sam Bell is still alive and beat up, and that Sam Bell still has the burn on his hand from when he got distracted from a hallucination earlier in the movie. And I was so mad at myself that I hadn't noticed that the new Sam didn't have the burn.
Did he feel the burn?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, can we call the first Sam Bell, the one with the burn, Sam Prime? Just to keep this clear.
All right, Sam Prime and Sam...
And
2.0?
Sammy Boy.
Sammy Boy.
And Sammy Boy, yes. Sam Prime and Sammy Boy.
Wait, but here's the thing. Are we ever going to talk about the Sams who's on Earth?
The Sams who came before.
Oh,
the
God.
To all the Sams we've loved before. We'll get there.
You get a Sam. For now, you get a Sam. Everybody gets a new Sam.
Besides, I know what to call the Sam that we are not yet referencing. We'll be fine. We just gotta get there.
Okay. Sammy Boy is 3 years younger and a lot angrier, and I appreciate.
But also, he's all like, "I'm tan. I'm doing my jump roping."
And Sam Prime, you are not looking too good, buddy.
And Sam Prime's like, "Fuck you! I haven't had to do leg day in 3 years."
And I appreciate Sam Rockwell and his ability to show the character development that must have happened between the two Sams.
Yes.
Yeah, he plays off against himself really well.
Actually, to this film's credit, like, they do an amazing job with that.
Yeah, the fun and games section of this movie was a lot of Sam Rockwell playing off himself.
Yeah. But you can clearly see how one Sam leads to the other.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get the sense that they are two completely different people. You get the sense that this is one of them is the same guy who's seen some shit. or not seen some shit, as the case may be.
Well, also, one of the things I really appreciate is the Sammy boy is a little rougher, a little angrier, really kind of, you know, easy to anger. Around the same time that we're finding out about, you know, that the live satellite's down, we find out that at some point or another, Sam Prime and his wife back on Earth had had marriage problems.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And what's great is that when we see Sammy Boy later, we're like, yeah, no, I see why we had marriage problems.
Yeah.
That totally works.
But Sam Prime, he's in a position, we see now why the wife back on Earth is like, I'm really looking forward to you coming back home, and
I'm glad we worked this out.
I'm glad that we had the time apart, and then I'll get to see you again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that probably was good for him.
Yeah.
So this section of the movie, mm-hmm. where we basically have the interplay between Sammy Boy and Sam Prime, mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong, but a reading I was having into this was kind of like a big metaphor of a, you know, a person living with a parent who is currently like dying / going through dementia.
Oh.
Was that kind of a reading that is understandable?
I mean,
kind of like the frustrations of the young and the old at the same time.
I could see that.
Could you elaborate?
No, just like the frustrations of Sammy Boy, mm-hmm. about like, why aren't you helping me out with this one task that that, as far as Sam Prime is concerned, is pointless. That kind of frustration. Also just having to care for Sam Prime and, you know, distracting from the task at hand, that kind of stuff.
It's the energy of youth versus
the wisdom of age.
The cynicism or the wisdom. Yeah.
Yeah. Or this 3-year
age. Well, I mean, but he's spent a lot of time alone, essentially. I mean, and a lot of people talk about,
yeah,
you know, he talks to his plants. He's been apparently making this model of his hometown.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a tiny detail I absolutely love, because Sam Prime only remembers making 3 of those buildings, and it's a whole town. But for me, what I see is the difference between the impetuousness of youth. You know, he's quick to do, he wants to do action, but that's all he really does. He does a bunch of action, whereas Sam Prime,
Sam Prime's the one that actually finds the,
but he also is the one who talks to Gertie. He's the one who makes all these discoveries. He does the logic leaps.
Mm. Yeah.
I think another thing that this shows, mm-hmm. is that one person on their own, whatever, two people, suddenly you have someone to bounce ideas off, someone who's been making you think through, mm-hmm. things.
Someone to stab in the eye.
Someone to stab in the eye.
Hell is other people.
And suddenly, you start problem solving.
True.
And you start thinking through things. Humans are social creatures.
It does show the benefits and the negatives of people.
People.
Yeah. Also, if Sammy Boy didn't show up, Sam Prime wouldn't have even bothered or looking for those things. So.
Because he didn't have a reason to.
He thought it was completely normal. Gertie woke up a new Sam. The new Sam. What's Gertie's role in all this? The new Sam, so really the precipitating event here is Gertie. And then we have both of the Sams being like, what the shit's going on? But they're slightly pointing in different directions. So Sammy Boy's like, what the shit's going on? There's two of us. Why is there two of us? Are we the only ones? He's like, gets onto the paranoid thing. Sam Prime has a few other concerns, like the fact that he's suddenly vomiting blood and other body horror things.
Losing team.
And he's the one who had the hallucinations. Sammy Boy's not having these fucking hallucinations.
Also, no, he's not.
Listening audience, the clones appeared to have an expiration date.
That they do.
Of 3 years.
Weird.
Convenient. Yep.
Or, you know, we don't know that yet.
Yeah. It became pretty obvious.
Oh, the other thing is that Sam Prime knows to use his resources. So he knows to ask Gertie, or even how to negotiate with Gertie.
That's true.
Within the bounds of Gertie's programming. And we also see Sammy Boy learning how to do that, because they are, of course, the same person. The Sams are the same people.
Yeah. Though Sammy Boy is also, knows to, you know, take care of himself. Both of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good material there. You see why his wife was, you know, really hoping to work it out.
I'm just going to say, also, I'm going to take a stand and say that Gertie was not as well programmed as maybe he could have been.
Actually, that was one of my notes, was program your AI better, lol.
Oh, really? I'm going to say y'all are wrong. I think he was programmed correctly.
Dun, dun, dun.
But that's an argument I want to have just as soon as we're done actually finishing the plot.
Right.
So they eventually find the clone bin.
The horrible truth.
Because Sam Prime is like, well, let's see, when I was supposed to go home, I know this, I was supposed to be in this thing. Cool.
Oh, no.
It's not a shuttle.
It's a incinerator.
Woo.
I see some Sam dust on the ground. And then
Sam dust.
And he gets the other Sam, and then they find the multiple Sams, and they find a lot of Sams. Like, this is a...
Like, they're on Sam 5.
Discount Sam Warehouse.
Meanwhile, Sam Prime is like, well, shit, again, dying, bleeding. He wants to find out why this is going on. He tries to log into the old archives. The archives of all of the letters he's ever sent home. And he finds it's locked. And Gertie actually pops up and gives the password. And that's how Sam Prime finds out, oh shit, literally every single one of the past several me's has died at the 3-year mark, which, is a couple years from now.
It's a couple weeks.
Like I said, it's a couple weeks from now. And meanwhile, Sam Prime is like, we gotta get off this space station because,
holy shit.
Well, we have a timeline, a deadline.
That's right, yeah.
Because there was the crash, so the home company is sending somebody to fix the mining mobile and presumably to clear up any...
And when they get there, they're gonna figure out.
See their two Sams go pop, pop.
Yeah.
And clean everything up.
Yeah.
So basically, they're both running against a mortality clock, as it were.
They are, but very different ones.
Mm.
One's more inevitable than the other.
Mm-hmm.
One's more violent than the other.
And Brendan, that's where I think that your thing of youth versus age really comes in.
Yeah. No, I mean, I that was a theme I was picking up, definitely, over the course of the movie. And how, at the end, they have to work together.
They do. And we also see growth on Sammy Boy's part. Sammy Boy spends a lot of time being, like, angry and paranoid. And at the end, he's like, you are the one who should go home. You're the one who should go back to Earth, to Sam Prime, who has been there for 3 years
all like,
and is dying.
I appreciate the gesture, but we both know I'm not going to make it.
My spleen just fell out.
But the important thing for Sam Prime is that he... while Sammy Boy's doing something, I don't know, talking to Gertie or coming up with his grand escape plan, Sam Prime takes one of the things, one of the rovers, drives out past the jammers, and does a live call.
Yep.
And
back home.
That's when we find out the true scope.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, Kat, did you have a name for this final
one? Oh, yes. One? For the final one. Okay, so... Oh.
Well, there's another, kind of.
There is another.
Yeah.
So he calls. He's like, is this the Bell residence? And he very smartly does not turn on his video. And there's a young woman on the other side who is not notably his wife. It is, in fact, they're not like a long person. That's weird. A girl with long, dark hair, which eerily matches. excuse me, the two hallucinations from earlier, which brings us up to threes, which is important in storytelling. And it is revealed that this is his daughter, that we last saw her when she was 3 years old. She's clearly much older now. And not just that, but she says that his wife died a few years ago. This girl's like 15 years old. His wife's dead, this thing that he's been like sort of driving toward. And then
his one driving goal, really,
at this point, was
getting back to his wife. Yeah.
And also it's like daughter. The basis of his growth as a person was to become a better person so that he could fix his marriage, come back to his family, and so on. And then he starts being kind of stupidly creepy, being like, "Hey, sweetheart." And the girl's like, "The fuck are you?
How old are you?"
And she calls out for her dad. And that's when we hear Samuel.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Samuel, who is in fact the original Sam.
OG Sam.
Sam Daddy.
Samuel, we don't know a lot about him. Did he do his 3 years, or was he just the basis for...
I assumed he did his 3 years to set up the letters.
Oh, that's right, because the way the reason the letters work is because, as opposed to being just like mindless copies, is that he, there's like memory engrams, I don't know, some kind of bullshit explanation, so that, they can adjust it a little bit, and that's where the hallucinations came from.
The interesting question is, does, Samuel know about the clones himself? Was he in on mm-hmm. it? We don't have an answer for that one.
We don't have an answer for
Maybe
that.
Maybe we will in our story treatments.
What? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the story is Sam Prime is too sick. So even though it was a sweet gesture on Sammy Boy's part,
yeah.
Sam Prime gets hauled. They put him back into the damaged rover. Sammy Boy crawls into an escape pod.
It was a H3 transport tube thing.
Oh, okay, so all right, he cramped himself
in
there.
That he jerry-rigged.
And shot back to Earth. The company stooges show up in time to look around. Golly.
Gertie wipes his own memory.
Gertie suggests that he lets his memory be wiped. So that...
Yeah, Sammy Boy actually does the,
So that Sammy Boy can get a clean getaway. Yeah, the stooges show up. Everything looks like normal. They find the, Sam Prime. They're like, cool, now we can restart the whole thing. Except, in the final moments of the thing, we realize that, Sammy Boy did in fact make it back to Earth and then proceed to cause the biggest fucking stink imaginable. because it turns out nobody knew about the clone thing.
Is in that the final audio bit of like news clips, they call him an illegal alien.
Mm-hmm.
And why should we trust him?
Yeah, a lot of stuff about identity, and as we mentioned before, the young versus old dynamic, young working together with old mm-hmm. dynamic, has a lot going for it.
Isolation also.
Oh, yeah.
And I will also point out, and this is something that I'd like to throw out to y'all, what is the nature of consciousness in humanity?
Ooh.
Because we have Gertie right at the end, before he gets rebooted, saying, he's like, yes, you should reboot me. And then the Sam and I can go back to our original programming. Sammy Boy says, no, I'm a human. We're humans. We're not programmed. But if you think about it, they're treating the Sams as disposable objects, much the way you would an AI. And in fact, it could tie further if you want to bring in, the cookies from Black Mirror. Are the Sams really people? Because sometimes they come back wrong. That's why they have days worth of neurological tests at the beginning, whenever they wake up a new Sam.
Yeah.
It's like, oh dear, guess what, Sam? You get to go home early. Yay. Go into the pod. It smells like
Yeah.
It smells like burnt hair. Is that normal?
Yes.
Yes. That is the cryo-freezing process for you.
The last note I have in my, notes is Gertie going space crazy. And what's his consciousness like? Does he have one? Can he go space crazy?
Well, he just got wiped, so that problem got solved itself.
Of the last few days, though.
There we go.
Is what he got wiped.
Yeah, he's not wiped completely. You guys are saying, you need to program your AIs better. Actually, I think this is a really great example of positive AI programming. Like, they stuck with...
A directive
that was, help the Sams. And what was really great is that the Sams could then work around that such that... From the company's point of view, it's a bad idea.
Which is my point.
Okay. Alright.
Basically, they forgot to put it in the Weyland Yutani failsafe. Wait, no, that wasn't Weyland Yutani. Who was the Robocop?
Murphy?
No,
my name is Murphy.
No, the company in Robocop.
Oh, fuck. It's
Omni Consumer Products.
OCP, yeah. So they forgot to put in the OCP's failsafe.
He down with OCP? Yeah, you know me.
Wow.
Go to the corner.
So, other things, themes that came up in this story.
Fuck capitalism.
Yeah, fuck capitalism.
Fuck capitalism.
Right in my notes.
Can I tell you guys my favorite story about Moon?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So we talk about fan fiction a lot on this podcast because we're terrible people. Every year there's a small fandom, secret Santa fiction exchange. And it's specifically for small fandoms that aren't really popular. Somebody requested a story about Moon one year. And, the story written was called, I Am Here to Help You or something like that. Whatever Gertie says. And it's basically, Gertie's point of view for the five Sams that have been in place. And it's fantastic. Absolutely great. But much fan fiction is. The great thing is that, and while I would generally not recommend doing this ever, 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 somebody directed Duncan Jones on Twitter to this story. By the way, again, never tell the original creators about fan fiction. It'll never end well. Except this one time. Because Duncan Jones apparently went to go read this story, loved it, and left a comment talking about how this writer really understood, really got it, and he's just so happy and, just really amazed.
Is this a real life?
And so the reason I bring that up is, first of all, it's one of the very few holy shit positive stories about sharing fiction. But also because he really liked the story that was from Gertie's point of view, the humanity of Gertie, and how Gertie dealt with all these different Sams while maintaining, his programming.
Oh, did you guys notice, all the, Christian imagery, not imagery, but, Christian references and all that? the rovers were all apostles.
Holy shit.
Mark,
or not the rovers, the mining machines.
Huh.
The one that was permanently busted, had it scratched out and replaced with Judas.
I totally didn't see that. No, but you make a good point. And also, we have Resurrection.
Yep.
Continual fucking resurrection.
3 years. Yeah.
Yep. You could go really stigmata with stuff. He got wounded on his hands and so on.
What?
And his feet were fucked up near the end. Cause he was busy limping around everywhere.
And would you call this a kind of harrowing?
Ooh.
Adventure?
And when you think about it, this is a mining operation. Sam here is suffering and all that for everybody on the planet.
3 years, 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah. Suffered, died, was buried.
Yep.
And then on the third day, he rose again.
Yep, all that happened. Oh, fuck.
Yep.
He does have to have several days worth of testing every time.
Also,
Hey. Was a church mentioned in the model? I remember they talked about the different buildings in the model.
I think he mentioned a chapel.
I can't remember. I'd have to watch it.
Oh no, we'd have to watch it
also,
again. Oh no.
Please, wait, stop.
Hey, what does GERDE? GERDE's an acronym. What does that stand for?
Probably,
don't look it up on Urban Dictionary. That's what I've learned.
I don't think they actually define it.
Ooh.
So GERDE's involved to dimensions in space?
Yep.
Right.
Fair.
Yeah. Yep, I'll take it. I will say that I actually really appreciated his character design. He's a bunch of arms that are on rails throughout the thing, and he uses, emoji faces, which have to say, super effective.
Yeah.
And he always has a mug on him.
I think we've talked at length about the plot of Moon there, and I think there's definitely more to discuss. You know, we could probably spend an extra hour just talking about plot dissection and all that, but that's not really why we're here.
Let's start talking
about what we'd change or use, depending on how much you feel like copping out.
Wow. First of all, I feel really called out. Second of all,
I mean, if nobody wants to go first, I can take a stab.
I feel like going first. But,
Go for it.
Right.
Beat us all out.
Yeah. I'm going to change out the entire ending.
Whoa.
Ah, son of a bitch.
That's why Alex wanted to go first.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. basically, remove the cleanup crew as it is and just... Not actually make them a cleanup crew, but actually just say what they actually were, the rescue crew. And then you get a good question of were they clones or did Sam just actually go literally space crazy and there wasn't actually a clone there to begin with.
The Brazil ending.
Yeah. Basically, because at the end of the movie when they were doing the news clips, that kind of ruined it for me.
I could see that.
Same.
Because it was not from Sam's perspective. Like, it was, like, it became a third-person omniscient, sort of.
Uh-huh.
And through its addition, and just confirms what everything that Sam had seen, you know, the clones and all that.
Oh, so you're saying this is, I said Brazil, but this is an occurrence at Owl Creek situation.
Yeah.
Which, for the listening audience, is...
We find out that he's getting hanged and it's all just a dream.
It was a split second fantasy before his own death.
We talked about that during Passengers, right?
Yeah.
Which was another trapped in space story.
Space crazy, man.
Space crazy. Space
crazy. Yeah.
That's a good point, Alex. That's a very good point.
Also, Chris Pratt's character, or I forget his name, character has nothing on Sam.
No, Sam's awesome. All the Sams.
We have Sam's deteriorating health, but you also have healthy Sam that's with that. And that's kind of more of a, you know, a Tyler Durden kind of thing going on there. That's Fight Club for those of you who, oh wait, no, fuck, that's spoilers, super spoilers.
Yep.
It's for a movie that came out in the fucking 90s, so I think that we're fine.
Listen, listeners, there's not just spoilers for the movie here, but spoilers about in general.
And this is why you read the show notes.
That's why you should always leave a note.
And that's actually just the case of Sam being having good moments and bad moments. But also, like, you know, hurting himself, trashing the room. Like, I can see actually a lot of those moments of, you know, Sammy Boy acting out as Sam just having moments of disassociation.
Well, also, and it makes sense if they're going in two different directions and they both find jammers. I mean, it's mirroring and so on.
And all really convenient.
Well, also, you know, that would say that that Sammy Boy cannot find new information. It's all just Sam Prime.
But it's Sammy Boy that goes out to find stuff.
Yeah, but Sammy Boy is not the one who finds the room, who does the phone call back to Earth. He doesn't find new information. It's always Sam Prime who finds the new information.
Sammy Boy has the intuitive punches.
Yeah.
And the action beats. He has action beats.
Yeah.
But maybe it's also one to do this because the warehouse full of Sams just seems excessive. Like,
I'm going to go a different way.
That's okay. Why there's four of us.
To quote Flight of the Conchords, what are your overheads?
I thought you were going to say too many dicks there on the dance floor.
There are.
Okay.
I also just like, was it all just a dream? Same kind of thing. And then, I don't know, Sam wakes up in the hospital and like, you went crazy there, man. We have the footage.
No, I would hate that. I would hate that if they ended it like that.
Well, no. That's not the actual ending, just, you know, something I would then imagine to myself.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, yeah.
Can I springboard off L's?
Yeah. The quick thing, Gertie's just following Sam around, just trying to help him because he never actually acknowledges that there are two separate Sams.
Doesn't he?
No.
Oh, he says Sam.
He refers to Sam in the singular. And whenever there's two of them in the room, he only talks to one.
Oh. So fucking creepy.
Yeah, and really, that's like just Gertie's trying his best.
Hashtag Gertie tried.
All right, awesome, man.
Right.
So
you said you wanted the springboard?
So I'm going to spring. Yeah, I wanted the springboard off Al there because, like Al, I didn't really care for the very end of the movie. I thought it was just a little too, like, wrap a bow on it and, yeah.
The corporations get knocked down a peg.
Aha!
Aha, yes. It kind of struck me as something that was made to give it a bit more wide appeal, because you want to have a little happy ending at the end of your hour and a half romp in space.
So it sounds like this was a note from the producers.
Kinda. Yeah. It struck me as something like that. It could have not been. I don't know. I'm not in the room there
where it happened.
Yes. What I'd change is I'm going to go for the super downer ending.
Oh.
Everything's playing out the same. We've had reminders from, you know, this AI or whatever that the cleanup crew's on the way. No worries. I'm having it play out that Sammy Boy is still riding that chute down back to Earth.
Uh-huh.
And that's when we find out that live communication that was also just another pre-recorded message, like a bit more advanced, but like this process, the Sam clone project or whatever, it hasn't been going on for 15 years.
Uh-oh.
We're talking a few hundred years.
Rip Van Winkle, no.
And he, you know, comes crashing down onto Earth, and I'm just imagining like almost like the project has been going on, actually not even a few hundred years, a few thousand years.
Yep.
And that he just crashes down and there's just a bunch of helium-3 containers all on the ground there. And just like nobody's collected them. It's been like this forgotten project.
Oh, not just forgotten. Whether or not like
the Earth is abandoned.
Oh,
but, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because it's to play on that line of Gertie's, that it's all just a program being executed. And we saw how many Sams there were in the Sammy warehouse.
You know, thinking about it, it makes zero sense to have that many Sams. Because surely technology would advance as such that you'd have to replace all the equipment to make it more efficient anyway.
Like there's a there's a certain, you know, peak. There's peak Sam.
And you can clone people, but you can't.
Not well.
Yeah. But you can't have, like, a more efficient way of getting helium-3?
Well, I will say that the cloning thing, I think that the 3 years was a built-in. So I'm not sure if this was part of the plot or not, like in the movie, or if I'm pulling it from that fantastic fanfic. But I believe that the 3 years was a built-in failsafe.
Well, yeah.
Eventually, Sam would notice, hey, why the fuck can't I fix this satellite?
But no, I mean, I of course, he's not going to realize that technology should have advanced by now and stuff like that. But eventually, shortly, that station becomes obsolete because technology moves fast.
Well, that's why you make a new site.
But all the Sams are there.
With new Sams.
There are more Sams that are really reasonable.
My new short story, An Unreasonable Number of Sams.
Coming soon.
By John Green.
In a world, I can only have one Sam and Belle per district.
Thank you, Interdimensional TV. All right.
So yeah, that's me. I just want to have the super downer ending.
Yeah.
Can I jump off of you and Pip?
Sure.
I know Pip hasn't actually gone yet, but jumping off of what Pip was saying about your thing.
Okay.
I was actually going to do something different, but I now am really enamored with the idea of what solves that problem, and also I think solves the realism problem that Alex had, is the big thing is that there's this room full of endless Sams. Well, fuck it. Why are there endless Sams? Why aren't there, like, just, like, four more? So you have, like, in total, a 10 to 15 year project, which I think is actually reasonable in terms of mining, and with some backup Sams in case some of them are broken. And then you can do, like, the next phase where you improve all the shit and so on. Now, the reason that I think they couldn't do that in the film is because, well, when you have just four more Sams, fuck it, why don't you just wake all of them up?
Sam Squad.
And that's where my change comes in.
Oh, no.
We have now... So they get Gertie to wake up all the Sams.
Shit, that was what I was going
to
do.
Oh, god damn it. I'm sorry.
No worries.
So they wake up all the Sams, and there's four... And actually, then we start playing more on the stuff that Brendan was talking about earlier with the I think it was Brendan, the multiple aspects of a person and so on. And then we get in an action thing where, they're all like, we're fucking taking down this company. So they fuck around with the station. They use Gertie. They get the Jupiter crew who's coming to quote unquote rescue them. They, set up a like Home Alone trap for them. and then they knock down the jammers like they did in the movie. Like the movie ends with like all six Sams that are currently viable. Crowded in front of the communication thing, dialing like future CNN.
Flirty Sam and the posh Sam.
Baby Sam.
And
we started calling him Spam.
Oh, no.
And then Sam Prime, who's like looking like the patriarch of this group, totally fucking beat up, just holds up a piece of paper and says, "We are Sam Bell, and here are our demands." End film.
Nice.
Because Helium-3, I mean, like, fuck it. It's a fuel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sam Bell somehow manages to create a super weapon on the moon.
We're gonna blow up the moon! Anyway, I would love that. It's a less quiet story, but I think it's got a bang of an ending. And I think it's more realistic in terms of what a business would do, like a corporation. I don't think necessarily have it, I think clones apparently are the cheaper option here. But not long term, as Alex was, or whoever it was saying. Pippin, maybe. Anyway. So that's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
Unless I decide I want to do something else.
All right, Pip. You've had approximately a couple of minutes here to come up with a different one.
Okay. So, earlier, right, I said fuck capitalism. Because fuck capitalism. But you know else? What else should fuck off? The patriarchy. So,
fuck the patriarchy.
Sam is now a woman.
Yay!
And all the Sam clones. And oh god. And then.
Wait, is Sam 2 still called Sammy Boy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
She's just very gruff. When women are socialized to be, helpful.
Ooh.
So, you know, Sam's up there doing her best, trying real hard.
She's just doing her best.
Gertie, also voiced by Emma Thompson.
Of course.
So it's very feminine atmosphere up there.
Smells like Teen Spirit.
It does. There are Lisa Frank stickers in random places because she thinks it's funny.
That is funny.
And then Sammy Boy wakes up because she's still having some troubles, but, you know, it happens. But because of the whole socialize to help each other thing, instead of being really antagonistic towards each other, they work together.
Yes.
So you get to the ending of the movie in much quicker time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that way you can spend the focus of the rest of the movie in fucking over capitalism.
Yeah, and then we can really focus on how angry they should be that this has happened to them. Because I'm not sure the original movie really focuses on... Because they're mad about it, but they're still sort of in the problem-solving stages.
Uh-huh.
But they're all like, did our company lie to us? And I'm sitting there going, like, y'all are clones. It's kind of obvious that they lied to you.
Well, also, like, why aren't we having any existential problems? Like, I would have a lot of existential problems about being a clone.
Yeah.
What did it actually say in my contract? I waive the right to any clones of me that get made. Oh, shit.
That's why you read the fine print.
I thought that was a joke line.
But, you know, one of the themes of the movie is how workers are seen as expendable.
Yep.
By capitalism. And also, under the patriarchy, women are objects.
Mm-hmm.
And to be used as the man sees fit, which is awful. And they become uncomfortably aware of how literal that can be.
Oh.
Hmm.
And then maybe they wake up all the Sams. And start a feminist commune on the moon.
They've got the fucking energy for it.
That was the plan all along, wasn't it, Pippin? Wasn't it?
For feminist communes.
I like how you make a feminist commune and my male Sams are like, we're gonna fucking blow up the moon.
I mean, they also, you know, fuck over the company on Earth. Possibly with Lisa Frank stickers, who knows? They glitter bomb the shit out of things.
Like, by being on the moon, are they automatically a dynastic cult? Or a Diana?
Artemis.
Dynastic, yeah.
Well, Diana's...
Diana and Artemis are the same.
Yeah.
Shit, fuck, you're right.
Just one's more Roman than the other.
Which one's the Roman
fucking
one?
Romans.
Diana.
Diana.
As much as I love Diana, Artemis is the OG.
Also, I would like to point out that clearly they will have to spend some time making a flag with their Lisa Frank stickers.
Yeah.
That's how you know that you've conquered someplace.
Do you have a flag?
Is it made of Lisa Frank stickers? You need both.
But yeah, so
I like how none of our solutions go for the for instance, diving, you know, a darker ending, like, except for Alex's. Alex is pretty dark.
Brett? Mine was pretty dark.
Brett?
Yeah.
All right, so fuck it. Me and Pip are like...
Listen, I'm really proud that I ended with Feminist Commune on the Moon.
Wait. Do they have sex?
Yes. What else do you do in a feminist commune?
With Gertie.
If Gertie wants to.
See, then we start getting into a whole separate movie.
Yeah.
Is it?
Can AI actually consent?
Is it?
I have feelings.
I haven't watched her, so I can't say.
Well, Gertie is programmed to take care of Sam.
That makes it weirdly creepier. Also,
I've been feeling down.
Oh, wait, no. Ooh, wait, no. Kevin's... No.
Voice by Emma Thompson now.
Or Christopher Plummer, depending.
Both.
Just switches around.
Yes.
Depending on which Sam he's talking to.
Hey, Gertie can be whatever Gertie wants to be.
Gertie has several.
It's their choice.
Like your GPS, where, like, there's several voice options.
Turn right, motherfucker. Also, I want everyone to know that one of the notes I have is, directed towards the clones, says, make out or kill each other, those are the options.
They dance together. Dancing, it could be a metaphor.
Yeah.
Actually, they don't dance together. It's really just Sam Prime who's dancing at Sammy Boy.
I mean, one of them dies, and you could argue that it's a little death.
The petite moi.
Jet hands.
Anyway. So do we have any other story changes, comments, thoughts?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Give him a baseball ball or something. So he can play catch with himself.
No, he had ping pong, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Ping pong. No video games.
Which is...
ping pong.
Also, I just feel like this was a great example of the trapped in space genre as a whole. Which includes things like Space Odyssey, Gravity, Passengers, yep. MST3K.
Also, bottle episode. Why I like them. I'll say it. I like bottle episodes.
Fair enough.
And it's a subset of the submarine movie.
Yeah.
All right.
So, do we have ideas for a game?
What's a crossover one? I want to do that one.
Yeah.
There's special appearance by, but we can also just have it be a crossover as well.
Yeah.
So what happens when different characters or maybe a different show premise entirely shows up in this one, in Moon?
Wait, can I go first even though I know you were aiming for it?
Damn it. Yes.
Go for it, Pip.
So, in the not too distant future, next Sunday, AD.
Oh, Pip.
Oh,
there
no.
is a guy named Sam, not too different from you and me. He worked for Gizmodic Institute. Or
wait, what's the name of
For Serang.
Serang is a station that he's on. Lunar Institute is what he works
You're
for.
You're right. You're right.
Yep. He worked. So just say he
works for the Lunar Institute.
Just another Joe in a. I think it was a.
I think he had a yellow jumpsuit, orange jumpsuit.
Yeah.
But the point is, he also has a robot buddy.
With the help of his new robot friends.
Robot roll call, Gertie.
That's it.
Just
Gertie from multiple points of view
with different emoticons. Anyway.
So.
Yeah. And we can also pan across the different mine vehicles.
Yes! Oh, Gertie and Mark and Luke. And they don't do anything.
And Judas.
They just chug along. And it circles back to Gertie with a different face.
So anyway, yeah. So other than that just amazing bit, of which I have zero regrets. Maybe along with Gertie, Tom Servo and Crow, and Gypsy, and Cambot, because Cambot is very important.
Cambot's my favorite bot.
Yeah, can also show up, and when they're watching whatever old show that it is, they can, you know, laugh and have a good time, and maybe distract from the fact that he's slowly dying.
Oh, God. And then it turns out there's another Sam, and the robots are now trying to solve the mystery. Not the Sams, the robots.
Or they just don't mention it because they're dick faces.
Wow.
Which is also in character.
Yeah, I've seen the show. They're kind of assholes.
Like, yeah, of course you're a clone.
We're all clones. Like, no, you're not. Yeah.
Like, you guys are robots. You literally can't be clones.
Aren't all robots clones if they're made from blueprints?
Yes, they are.
Ooh.
Existential crisis.
And I can just imagine Crow waking up one of the clones to just so he could even out the teams on a
ping pong tournament.
Yeah, on a ping pong tournament. We woke the two up because we needed doubles.
And they make dumb clone jokes even before the clones are revealed.
Oh my God. And I want Tom to show up in like a perfect white tennis outfit.
Yes.
Tom Servo?
Yeah. Wait. Is his collar popped?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
He's Tom Servo.
There we go. That was the correct answer. And if you're wondering about helium-free and other science facts...
Just repeat to yourself. It's just a show. You should really just relax.
All right, who's next? Who's next?
You are.
Shit. Okay, so as we mentioned, for reasons that I don't understand, the very excellent I forget his name, but the boss actor, the second boss, not the first one, from the IT Crowd, which is a British sitcom about the IT department at a some sort of conglomerate business type thing. Anyway, the villain boss, who has an incredibly plummy accent, is a minor character. He plays one of the bosses that interacts with Sam. And the only way I was able to tell it was him, because the picture's distant, is that accent. And I'm like, well, what if he is the boss from the IT crowd? And what's happening? Forget what's happening on the space station, right? Somebody had to program Gertie. Somebody is around who is doing code checks and fixing the fucking databases, because you know they issue that shit, or uploading all of the maps, because, you know, lunar surface is weird. There has to be a human team back on Earth.
Are you saying that Gertie was programmed by Moss?
I am indeed saying that Gertie was programmed by the fantastically acted by Richard Ayoade, Moss, and the rest of the IT crowd team. Are the IT team in charge of that? So anytime we see Gertie being helpful, it's actually one of them. What's it called when IT takes over your computer briefly?
Remote.
Yeah, they're remote desktopping. And I would love it if it was just like these little weird comedy beats. So you just hear, you know, we never meet the team on Earth. We just discover that they must exist over the course of the story. And they're finding out that there's clones too.
I've just been thinking, haven't we had this conversation with him before? What do you mean?
From their perspective, it's just, they're just seeing like a code maybe, like SB1, SB2, SB3. They think that's just like the code for whoever the new person is on board. And they're realizing, oh shit, that's not what's happening. And then they have their own existential crisis, like, are we clones? And they're like, no, you're not fucking clones. You have bills.
How do you know? How do you know?
I admit a large part of this is just so that I can link to clips from the IT crowd in our show notes.
Of course.
And,
of course.
Mean, and obviously in our transcript.
Oh, wait. So at the end, when Sam reboots Gertie, you know what he's doing? He's turning him off and on again.
The first and best joke from the IT crowd. That's beautiful, and I love it. But yeah, so from my perspective, it would become much more of a comedy. And a weird comedy, much the way the IT crowd is. That's me.
Cool. Who's left?
Brendan.
Okay. So I've been thinking about what kind of really morally ambiguous company would actually do this project. And I instantly thought of the company from Westworld, the Delos. Is it the Delos company or Delos Incorporated? Huh. Now, if you get into the series as a whole, they do a lot of really shady stuff. Also, some light human replication studies, trying to, say, make programs from human behavior. Wah. So it's a good fit, I think. And I think that the Delos company there would do this kind of level of shady stuff. And that's also, It serves multiple purposes. It earns them money in the form of this energy extraction. It's potentially another location for a park way in the future. And also it's serving as a cloning test bed to maybe work on their own cloning technology. Who knows? Instead of robots, it could be clones.
Yay. They bleed actual blood.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they have an expiration date so you can control them better.
And of course, yay, if they're so expendable, you can do all sorts of things to them and it doesn't matter. Womp, womp, womp.
But yeah, so that's the thought that I was having there was just, yeah, that very evil company from Westworld.
Nice. And that left one.
Right. And Earlier in the podcast, I got confused about which company did the 1980s science fiction and companies. Like, there were a lot of those.
A decade's worth, one might say.
Yeah, but I'm going to reach back there, and I'm going to pull out Weyland-Yutani, who were the company in the Aliens franchise.
Oh. Didn't they do mining, too?
They did mining, they did colonization, they did the space works. They also did shady shit, such as, you know, sacrificing an entire mining crew to capture an alien egg.
Paul Provenza should have been ashamed of himself, working for a company like that.
So, here, this is Weyland-Yutani back in their early days of shady space shit.
How it all began.
Oh, how it all began.
And then they find an alien egg on the moon!
I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, apparently those things are like space roaches.
Very gross.
Gross.
They have the Sams not only having to deal with, like, are we clones? They also have to deal with the, holy shit, is that a tall alien thing with a spike for a tail?
The answer is yes. Okay. Like,
there's an alien in my boot.
Hmm.
So, and of course, because Weyland-Yutani is still a company in the future, they fucking lose because, of course. Man, I'm bleak tonight.
I like how in this we all went for, with the exception of Pippin, the rest of us went for a fleshing out of the company that would do this sort of thing. Except Listen. Pip. Well, wait, to a degree, Pip sort of did.
In my defense, I was originally trying to find some way to justify using multiplicity. But I just couldn't get there.
But you've managed now. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because that would be really funny if each iterative Sam was just more broken.
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking about. But the thing is, like, that was it. It's like, nope, there's not really much to talk about there.
And then they blow up the moon. Listen, I'm really into blowing up the moon, apparently.
Well, Kat, we all know about your long-standing grudge with the moon.
The moon.
The moon has done nothing wrong. She's a beautiful princess.
And actually, Pippin, with yours, I'm reminded of the line from an earlier episode. The moon is a feminist agenda.
Yeah, it is.
Nice. Good job, team.
Yes, indeed. So that was Moon, right?
Yeah, and I would definitely recommend that the listeners, even more so than other things that we do, I would suggest that listeners take a look at it. I think it's a really fascinating
character piece.
Yes. And also, frankly, Sam Rockwell should definitely get huge props for his work in it.
Yeah.
These days he's Oscar award winning, Sam Rockwell.
Ooh.
So that was Moon there, and I think Al, you're taking us out?
Yes, sir, I am. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostorysacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter @nostorysacred, or send us an email through contact@nostorysacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostorysacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostorysacred. See you next time when we talk about the 1995 movie Empire Records.
Woo!
Damn the man.
Save the Empire.
It's Rex Manning Day.
Gonna do it for you, Joel. Until then, where No Story Sacred and any story can be changed. I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Pippin.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.